It happened years ago, and I can still see it as if it were yesterday. It happened at a funeral home on Churton Street in Hillsboro. A family had lost their young daughter. She was in her 20s, and she died in a car wreck. I was called to officiate at her service. And the grief in the room was palpable. It was a dark day like today, a little later in the spring, but there were those there who were audibly weeping. And it was then that I saw it. This family, this mother and father are sincere believers in Jesus. And when their daughter's friends walked up to them in the line, grieving the loss of this dear couple's daughter, it was this believing couple who gave comfort to others. It's not that they didn't grieve. Of course, they were grieving deeper than I could comprehend. But they had something else going on. There was something inside of them, this strength that, frankly, many of the other mourners there did not have. Again, this was their child. And I know these people. They were not putting on an act. But there, out of that deep hole in their life, up from underneath that unthinkable void, there flowed living water. And you could see it. You could see it if your eyes and heart knew what to look for. Oh, it was there. And I never forgot it. And that brings me to this question. Have you ever been through something? Or maybe you've watched someone go through something where you realize that the only way you could get through it was God. Someone might come up to you and say, I don't know how you do it. I don't even know how you can make it through the day. And then you pause for a moment and you think, and then very naturally, without trying to sound holier than you are, it just comes out something like, I'm not doing it. He is. And it's just the truth. And it's simple, and it's raw, and it's real, but it's profound. There is this truth about our God for the crucible moments of our lives, those moments where you know you can't make it on your own. It's a truth that pierces the dark like a spotlight in the deepest cave, and it finds you. And if you know that truth, and if you cherish it and take it to heart, you will find your way out no matter how deep you are in. That's really what our text is about today. It's in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, through chapter 8, verse 1. It's about Stephen. Stephen has just finished boldly sharing his faith with the ruling council and a hostile crowd. And unlike Peter, whom we looked at last week, things take a very different turn for Stephen. So here we are, chapter 7. Follow along if you have your Bibles with you. Chapter 7, verse 54 through chapter 8, verse 1. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him. How did Stephen do it? How did Stephen go through that? Think about it. There is that question that none of us want to rush an answer to. If you were called to die for your faith, could you do it? I think the most humble, honest answer to that is, I couldn't. But God in me, He's faithful. He will get me through, come what may, through Him. Anything's possible. You see that with Stephen. We don't know a lot about him. Who was he? He was one of the first deacons in the church. It's interesting, by the way, that the first deacons in the church all had Greek names. So he was probably a Hellenistic Jew, a Jew with a sort of a what was then a modern Greek background. The deacons were appointed so that the apostles could, and look this up in Acts 6:4, it's important. If you're wondering, you know, what were the priorities of the early church? Acts 6:4, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. There it is. Those are the priorities of the apostles and the early church. Why should it be any different today? But Stephen begins to run into opposition from the synagogue of freedmen. These were very likely Jewish slaves from several countries who had now been set free, and they deeply valued temple worship. They were back at home, and it was important to them. So Stephen's emphasis on salvation through faith in Jesus would have been an affront to them. You don't need all of this temple worship. You need Him. And Luke tells us that his opponents began to spread false reports about him. And what happens next sounds a lot like Peter. Stephen is bold. He speaks. He goes through the entire history of his people. If you're reading along with us in Acts, you went through that this week. And he doesn't hold back. And they rage at him. And notice the same thing is said about Peter that said about Stephen. Look at verse 55. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. God is at work in him. And this is where it gets especially interesting. Please stay with me. Verses 55 through 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. It's like he looks up and he sees this shining presence of God. His eyes are open to the spiritual reality that is there all of the time. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand. That literally means in a position of power. Standing at the right hand of God. Now let's take a step back and look at what's happening with all of this. Stephen has been faithful. Stephen has been a witness to his faith. And in this moment, he sees Jesus. And God touches him. God opens his eyes. He gives him this new strength. Notice it didn't come earlier. It came just in that moment when Stephen needs it most. It's like that family that I witnessed that day in Hillsboro. There is this deeper well within, and it changes everything. It was the very presence of God with him. And that's why Luke writes that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. God is all over this circumstance, the glory of God, the shining presence of God, if you will. That's the meaning of that word, glory, in the Greek. But Stephen's revelation is the very thing that enrages the crowd further. Verse 57, at this they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. But watch what Stephen does, verse 59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he died. But look at his last words. Who does he sound like? Yeah, if you said Jesus, you get a gold star. All of this shows us Stephen's secret, how he got through it. Jesus. God got him through. God held him up. Jesus was everything to him. He's walking through the moment with him. Stephen shows us his deep dependence on him in everything he says and does up to this point. But God then fills him with more of himself, gives him the vision that he needs, the strength just to get through, again, right when he needs it. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You see his trust there. You got this, Lord. You've got me. Hey, why don't we just stop everything that we're doing right now and pray a prayer of trust in him? Because he is our peace. He is our strength. He is our rest. And I don't know exactly what you may be going through in your life that is difficult right now. I have an idea in some places, but in some, I have no idea. But God knows everything. And our Savior, who is compassionate, feels deeper than we can understand, intercedes for us. His Spirit intercedes for us. So let's just take a moment before we go any further and do this. Lord, yes, we trust you. We love you. We want to be yours more. More than ever before, where we wrestle with that, you know. But right here, right now, in this situation, we affirm you are good and you are faithful. And we rest in you. We run to you and rest in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just one more thing before we leave this text. Someone else is there. You see him? He's lurking, watching in the background, giving assent to every stone that is thrown. Where do you see him? Verse 58, right? Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And then verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul approved of their killing him. I love the way that sets you up. I mean, it really sets you up for the rest of the New Testament. That young man would become the greatest missionary in history. That young man would write more of the New Testament than any other writer. That man would see Jesus himself and become the apostle Paul. I love that. I love that. I love it for two reasons. One, it shows nothing is too hard for God. God can reach that person that you think is absolutely intractable. And secondly, it shows me that God can reach me as well. In those places in my heart and life where I think, man, I just can't go. I can't get over this. But oh, hold on to this. If you're going through the unthinkable, you and I may not be called to die for our faith. We don't know, but we do know. We are called to die. Called to die to ourselves every day. Jesus said, you must take up your cross. If anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. You and I must come to that place where we say, not what I want, Lord. What you want. And live that every day. And the beautiful thing about that is that's not a downer. Because it is He who made us and He who knows us. And as we take those steps in that direction, we become more alive, more ourselves than ever before. And God opens our eyes to what He's doing and the reality of His presence and the life He gives. That's what happened to Stephen. The moral of all of this is that God will show Himself faithful. Faithful. I love what Andrew Brunson wrote about this. I want to share it again. This is Andrew Brunson's book, God's Hostage. Many of you remember Andrew came last fall and was here with us for an evening with his wife, Noreen. And of course, you may remember Andrew is an EPC missionary who was imprisoned in Turkey. And he went through a rough time. This is a very honest book. Yeah, he talks about the struggles that he had with his faith. And he shares this. There's a point where it looks like everything is just falling apart. And he doesn't know if he's going to be released. As a matter of fact, it looks like he won't be. Potentially, he could be imprisoned for years, years longer. And he says, right after he finds out about this, he writes, "The head guard took me back and left me. I lay there alone, fearful, and with terrible grief pouring down my cheeks. The thoughts kept going through my mind, 'Where are you, God? Why have you let them return me to this awful place? Why have you not intervened for me? Why are you so far away, so silent?' I opened my mouth, weeping aloud, and the words I heard murmured stunned me. 'I love you, Jesus.' And again, 'I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.' Immediately I realized, here is my victory. In my lowest point, the cry of my heart was one of love to Jesus. I was elated. This was a triumph in my heart, a response to God that showed me how different things were for me now. When I was in this place before, I had been so full of fear and pain. I still had fear and pain, but I had just discovered how deep my devotion was. It had been tried and proven true." And what that shows us is how deep the love of God goes within us. Because no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Spirit. No one can say, I love you, Lord Jesus, and mean it apart from the Holy Spirit whom He gives us when we receive Him. And so looking at Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's bold. Looking at Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, he goes through this and he shines. And you and I, wherever we may be, oh, if we have more of Him, we will have everything we need. And what He does in us, even in us, will surprise ourselves. In a good way. Because He is faithful. Scripture says in one place that if we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. And what I take that to mean is that His work goes deeper in us than we are capable of understanding. And His faithfulness does too. Our part is to just lean on Him, to love Him and cling to Him, and know that as we do, He has got us. Moses put it this way, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, another name for Israel, the God of Israel, who rides across the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in His majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's in Deuteronomy 33, verse 26, 27. So we can lean and we can love, knowing that He has got this. He has got us. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to do what He says, what He has promised, and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's got you as you run to Him. So may we do that before we take one more step in any direction. May the next one be straight to Him. May we pray. Lord, You are more faithful than we are. And I thank You for that. I praise You for that. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. Lord, thank You that You will get us through anything we face. We just need to stay close, and You will help us do that as we look to You. Oh, we praise You for this. And we affirm that our faith is so much more than feelings. Lord, we know that there will be times like Andrew Brunson where we don't feel, we don't sense Your presence, and we thank You and praise You that even then, You will surprise us, just like You did Him, because You are that good. You truly are that good. And so, our Savior, we praise You because You have overcome the world. We praise You that Your word says that everyone who believes in You has overcome the world, and that means us as we've turned to You for forgiveness of our sins. And if you haven't done that yet, dear one, please, not one step more. How can you live in this world without Jesus? He is the source of deepest joy, the greatest help, the greatest strength and pleasure. This world has nothing on Him when it comes to pleasure. The devil just takes the pleasures God invented and twists them. But oh, God. For those who love him, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived what he's prepared. So if you've never received him, oh, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I receive what you did for me. I receive you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash them away. Wash me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come in. I want a new beginning with you. And if you've received him and you just want more of him, pray, oh, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Come in. Thank you, Lord, that you are good and you are faithful. So much more faithful than we are. We lean into you and we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. On the first